Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Hey. It may be easier to find it by noting the bow tie shape that's spread between two lines and a number 3 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We begin a third comment of the Gemara, introduced by the expression Re'iya Rishona. To appreciate this series more, so we recommend listening to our previous shiur where we discussed it. In this particular case, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, which reads, Dinoi shel Rav Huna, the law taught by Rav Huna, Re'iya Rishona shel Zav, the first sighting of a Zav, Mitame Be'oines, will impart Tumah upon its emission, regardless of the circumstances. Oines, in fact, means some situation that's beyond his control, whereby other forms of Ziva, or other stages of Ziva, the second stage of Ziva in particular, if it were to come as a result of overeating or sudden fright or other factors, so we would not necessarily establish it as a Zov sighting, that is Metame. But the first sighting of the Zov sighting will Metame even if it appears Be'oines. Maybe we should just backtrack a minute. There are many different forms of tuma that are emitted from one's body. One of them, in this case, a male emission, not to be confused with a semen emission, which is called Baal Keri or Shichva Zera. This is a different type of emission that imparts tuma. If the Zov has one emission, so he is Tomei just till the evening. If he has two emissions, they may be two on the same day or two on two succeeding days, he will then have to observe 7 days without any sightings, 7 clean days. We're focusing right now, at this moment, on the first of the Zov sightings. Omar Rav Huna, we now turn to the Gemara. Re'iya Rishona shel Zav, the first sighting of the Zov fluid, Metame Boinus, will Metame even if the circumstances are beyond his control or they are of a sudden and unexplained nature. Shinemar Zois Teras Hazov Asher Teitze Mimenu Shichva Zera. That is the pasuk in which you see Zov featured together with Shichva Zera. Shichva Zera being semen. Ma Shichva Zera Metame Boines, just like the male Shichva Zera emission is Metame regardless of the circumstances, Af Re'iya Rishona shel Zav Metame Boines, so too the first Zov sighting will impart Tuma Be'oines. A triangle appears now, and if you notice to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, down the column, you notice a series of 4 of these triangles. They represent, as our Mivneh heading indicates, Kushyos al Rav Huna, questions challenging Rav Huna. Whereas Rav Huna said the Re'iya Rishona shel Zov is Metame Be'oines, we will see sources that at first glance would indicate to the contrary. Ta Shma, Re'iya Rishona Boitkin Oisoi. A man saw a first Zov sighting. We check him out. We ask questions. Did you overeat? Did you have a sudden fright? Did you jump? All kinds of questions that if he did any of those things, like the Mishnah says, B'shiva drochem b'yifin es azav, if he if any one of these seven different circumstances came up that could have been responsible for that fluid release, he would not become a Zav. So it says in this source that the first sighting also is subjected to the questioning. My Lav Lutuma, does this not mean that the questioning is to establish whether or not he is Tomei, and if it were to come as a result of Oines, some kind of uncontrollable sudden fright, he would not be Tomei. And Rav Huna said he would be Tomei. So the Gemara rejects this. Loi, not so. Le Korban, but rather the checking is to establish whether or not this first sighting will be able to join up with a subsequent sighting or two subsequent sightings in order to obligate this man to bring a sacrifice, because after three Zov sightings he has to bring a sacrifice. And all we're saying now is that the first of those three Zov sightings, if it happened ba'oinis, it wouldn't join up to create a group of three to mechayev him a korban. However, for his becoming tomei, that he will become tomei even if it happened ba'oinis. Toshma, another source, b'shnia boikin oisoi, the second sighting, we check him out, we ask questions. Lamai, what are we asking questions for? Lagabi, the second zov sighting. Questions regarding situations that may have brought on the sighting. E lema le korban, if you are to suggest that we're asking questions regarding the circumstances of the Zov sighting in order to know whether he'll have to bring a sacrifice after three sightings, so are we analyzing or questioning the second sighting in anticipation of a korban? Avalatuma loi, but for tuma, it wouldn't matter that a second zov sighting will be metamehim even if it happened ba'oinis, because we wouldn't care what the circumstances were. Well, that can't be. Ikri kan, you would refer to this mi besoroi velo machmas oinsoi. The pasuk says mi besoro, that the zov sighting flows from his flesh, and that word mibisoro is used to exclude the case of oines with regard to the second sighting. Elolav latuma. So it must be that the source we just read, b'shnia boikinoso, is we're checking him out to exclude the oines case for your basic tuma. Umi de seifa l'tuma, and just like this second source is checking out for tuma purposes, reisha nami l'tuma. The reisha also, which is more related to our issue of the real rishona, is also a questioning in order to establish tuma. And if it would have been an oines sighting, so he would not become tomei, and that's a question on Rav Huna. The Gemara rejects this. Mi de'iria ha'kidi'isa, the ha'kidi'isa. Who says that what the topic of the second source is must be the topic of the first source? Rather, the first source is, like we said before, is we're both can also, we question him to exclude ones. That's for korban purposes. In the second source, but let's go over that point. That's for korban purposes, but for tumah purposes, he would be tamei even if it did happen ba'oines. In the second source, that is kidi'isa, that is as it is, namely for tumah, because the second zov sighting, in fact, cannot be. It will not impose tumah if it happened ba'oness, in contrast to the first sighting. Toshma. So we continue analyzing evaluating Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that the first Zov sighting, even if it happens ba'oness, he will become tumah. So we have a source, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Af Bishlishi Boitkin Oisoi Mitnei HaKorban. Even for the third sighting of a zav has ramifications for obligating him to bring a sacrifice. After two sightings, he doesn't bring a sacrifice, but he is tomei for 7 days. After three sightings, not only is he tomei for 7 days, but he will also have to bring a korban at the end of that period. So Rabbi Lezer says that regarding the third sighting, we check him out because of the korban. In other words, if the third sighting was Be'oines, he wouldn't have to bring a sacrifice. Michlal de Tanakamo, if that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion, so we can infer the Tanakamo mitnei hatumo ko'omar. The Tanakamo is talking about a checking for tumah purposes. And if the sighting would be because of oines, he would be tohor. This, once again, is a kasha on Rav Huna. Loi, not so. The Kuli Alma le Korban. The Tanakamo and Rabbi Elazar are speaking about checking out the circumstances for the Zov sighting only for Korban reasons. But for Tuma, he would in fact be Tome, even if it happened Be'oines. V'hocho be'esim komifligi. And here, the Machloikis Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakama doesn't appear here, but there is a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Elazar appears after a previous Tanaic opinion. So there are two opinions represented here, and there Machlokas concerns the way to approach the word es in the Torah. The word be'esim is the plural of the word es. And we're referring to the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Tezvov, pasuk Lamed Gimel, a pasuk that we've cited numerous times in recent Dapim. V'hazov es zoivoy lazochor v'lanekevo. So in that pasuk, it says v'hazov es zoivoy, and we have included that quote on the side of your Gemara. Rabbonon lo darshi esim. The Rabbonon don't pay attention, don't expound on the word es. Rabbi Elazar dorish esim, and Rabbi Elazar does. And the Gemara explains. Rabbonon lo darshi esim. They don't focus on the word es, and their drush is as follows. Hazov equals chara. Hazov, in that pasuk, represents one sighting. Zovo equals tarti, is the second sighting. Lazochor, Bishlishi akshe rachmono linekevo. That word lazochor is a third sighting, and it's right next to the word linekevo. It's at the third sighting that the Torah compares the zav to the female parallel. The female doesn't have a zav sighting, but she has blood sightings. And in the case of a female, three blood sightings on three consecutive days will also mechayev her in seven nekiyim, shiva nekiyim, or seven clean days, and the bringing of a sacrifice. Now, in the case of a female, we don't ask questions as to what were the circumstances behind the sightings, because in the case of a female, oines sightings, whatever the reason are for the sighting of blood, is metameher. So, as far as the third sighting of the zav, according to the Rabbonon, he is compared, the zav, the man, is compared to the female, and that the man will become a zav godol and have to bring a sacrifice, even if the third sighting was ba'oines. Rabbi Elazar dorish es, and Rabbi Elazar pays attention to the word es, and he darshins as follows. Hazov equals chado, es tarti, zovo tlas. Those are three sightings, and with regard to the second and third sightings, they won't have significance if they were Be'oines, including the third sighting. If it was Be'oines, he will not have to bring a korban. Birvi akshei rachmana l'nekeva. But with regard to the fourth sighting, then he's compared to a nekeva. Now, what does it mean, a fourth sighting? After all that's needed are three consecutive sightings to make him into a zav godol with a chiyuv korban. The Revi is a reference to once a person is observing the seven clean days, if he has a zav sighting, not a blood sighting that's relevant to females, but a male zov release, and it happens even be'oines, even without our ability to explain how it came about, it will undo his string of clean days, and he'll have to start all over again, observing an uninterrupted string of seven clean days. So that at the fourth sighting, which is a reference to that sighting during the clean days, then he is like the female, that if it appears, if the Zov sighting appears Be'oines, so he will, it'll undo his clean days and have to observe another string of seven, he'll have to restart his counting till he achieves seven consecutive clean days. Toshma. This is the fourth attempt to question Rav Huna. Rav Yitzchok Oimer, Vahalo Zav Bichlal Bal Keri Hoya. We know that the Zav is compared to Bal Keri. V'lomo Yotza, why is there a separate parsha concerning the Zav? So the answer to that is Lahokel Olov Ulahachmir Olov. There is a leniency and there's a stringency vis-a-vis the Keri. Lahokel Olov Shein Metame Ba'oines. The Zov is less stringent than Keri. Keri, whatever the circumstances are, even Ba'oines, even out of a result of some type of suddenness, it appears, Keri imposes Tuma, but Zov will not. So that's a leniency, the non-Tuma factor or aspect. Ulahachmir Olov, Zov has a Chumra over Keri, and now we continue at the top of Lamed Hamid Beis, Shu Oisa Mishkav Umoshav. The Zov creates Mishkav and Moshav, unlike Keri. Mishkav Umoshav is a situation where a person who is at a specific type of Tumah, the beds and chairs that he sits on themselves become Tomei, so much so that they can impose Tumah on things that come into contact with them. And some Mishkav and Moshav are so severe, like the case of the Zav, that they're Metama people and vessels. Amos, which sighting of the Zav is featured in this source? Ilemo Birishnia, if you were to think that we're talking about the second sighting of the Zav, Hecho Havi B'chlal Bal Keri, where was a Zav at a Rioshnia, the second sighting of a Zav, ever compared to Bal Keri? Elopshita Rishona. We know that with regard to Rio Rishona, there is a Torah comparison between Zov and Bal Keri. The Kotoni, and it says in this source, Lahokel Olov She'eno Metame Boines, that with regard to what we are assuming right now means the real Rishon of the Zav is more lenient than Keri in that it's not Metame Boines. Well, that's not like Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that the real Rishon of the Zav is Metame Boines. That's the question. The response, V'tisbara, now explain yourself. L'hachmir olav shu'aysa mishkav u'moshav. If you're saying that we're talking about Ria Rishona, that the Zav Ria Rishona is more stringent than the Bal Keri in the realm of Mishkav Moshav, but Ria Rishona bar Mishkav Moshav who? With regard to the first sighting, would anyone say that a first sighting of Zov creates Mishkav and Moshav, the ability of the chair and bed that he sits on to communicate Tumah to others? No way. It's absolutely not so. That the concept or the phenomenon of Mishkav u'Moshav applies only to a Zav Godol. That's a Zav who had two consecutive sightings, not one. Elo Hochi Ka'omar. Rather, we have to reread the source as follows. And through this rereading, we will see that we don't have any more question on Rav Huna. Rabbi Yitzchok Oimer, Valo Zav Bichlal Bal Keri Hoya Birio Rishona. Rav Yitzchok says that Zav was compared to a Bal Keri with regard to the first sighting. And that means that just like a Bal Keri will metame boines, so too the Zav will metame b'ri'o rishon of the first sighting boines. There are also comparisons with regard to the length of the Tumah. They're both Tomei just till the evening. It's only the first Zov sighting, and same with Din of Bal Keri. So that having been said, that Rio Rishona of Zav is compared to Bal Keri, V'loma Yotza B'ri Ashnia, why, with regard to what, is the Zav B'ri Ashnia unlike the Bal Keri? There's an element of leniency and an element of stringency. The Zav Ria Shnia is not Metame Ba'ines. If it is a sudden sighting and it's the second day, it will not Metame. Ulahachmir Olov Shu Oise Mishkav Umoshav. The Riyah Shnia of the Zav creates Mishkav Umoshav, which a Baal Keri does not. So at this point, we finished that particular analysis of Rav Huna. And now another din, another observation of Rav Huna on a new point. And on the side of our Gemara, we have the Nosei. Hevdelim b'mitzius shel zoi v'shichva zera. Differences in the actual Zav versus Baal Keri emissions. Amar Rav Huna, Zov doima lemei botzek shel soirim. A Zov emission is like the water that is exuded from barley dough. When you prepare barley dough, there's a watery, you're mixing barley flour with water, so the water that mixes together with the barley flour has a consistency and color like that of Zov. Zov ba mi besar hames, shichva zera ba mi besar hachai. The shichva zera, which is the male semen emission, that comes from a male organ that is, basar hachai could be explained as an erection, whereas zov comes from a non-erect state, from a passive state, a relaxed state of the organ. Zov diha v'doyma l'loivin beitza muzeres. The zov sighting is diha. The Rashi on the third line from the top says, klomar mismakmek v'nifrad v'eino koshur. It's not a tight jelly-like substance. It comes apart and is not kashur. Literally, it's not tied together, but it maybe this could be appreciated with the contrast that we will see right now with regard to the shichva zera. So, in the meantime, zov diha v'doyma l'loiven beitza, it's like the white of an egg, hamuzeres. That's an egg that has not been fertilized. There is no chick anticipation. Shichva zera, the male semen, however, as opposed to zov, is kshura, the doima l'loiven beitza, she'ena muzeres. It's a thicker type substance and is like the white of a fertilized egg. So you see in this little piece of comment made by Rav Huna, contrast differences between zov and shichva zera. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, on daf lamed dalet amid aleph, dam hayuledes shelo tovla. The nosei, the topic heading on the outside margin, is actually this very point, and you can see we've written there dam hayuledes shelo tovla, and we've also indicated that this is a machloikes beis shammai and beis hillel. So that if you look at the Mishnah on daf lamed dalet, you will notice that Beis Shammai says that dam hayoledes shelo tovla is keroiku chamei ragleha, is the way we would treat her saliva and urine, and that basically means it's mitame only when it's wet, fresh, and not when it's dry. Beis Hillel omrim mitame lach v'yavesh. Beis Hillel says it's treated like dam de'oraisa, Torah level stringency applied to it, and therefore it's mitama wet and dry as well. The Gemara now features the give and take in a brisa that helps to highlight the point of difference, or the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We've used a squiggle underline method here to help in following the give and take style. Omru lohen beis hilo lebeis shamai. Beis Hillel, who was strict with regard to the dam hayuledes. We should have mentioned this is a woman who gave birth, and a woman who gives birth is tamea for 7 days after a male birth or 14 days after a female birth, and after that she's expected to go to the mikveh, and that sets her in motion to become tahora for the yemei tahara that follows. Here we're talking about a woman, though the days went by, she didn't go to mikveh. So Amru Beis Hillel says that if she didn't go to mikveh, the fact that the time alone went by, that is not sufficient to metahir the dam. Therefore, we treat it as tomei midoraisa. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, says that the fact that the time alone passed, it's no longer tomei midoraisa. The fact that it's metame when it's damp and not dry shows us that point, that it's not treated as dam on a Torah level, but simply on a rabbinic level. The Gemara with the source begins. Amru lehen Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, iatem moidim benida shelo tovla. Would you not agree, says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, regarding a nida that didn't immerse after her 7 days of tumah, v'ra'as adam, and after the passage of 7 days, which is the time for a nida doraisa to be tumeah, the time passed, and she saw dam after that on the 8th day, shehi tameh, that blood is tameh, completely tameh. So Beis Hillel is saying, look, the passage of time doesn't really help without the mikvah. Omru lohem Beis Shammai, loy, Beis Shammai said, I don't like your comparison. Im amartem benida, if you say that the dam, in the case of the nida, after the passage of the time frame remains, the dam remains tomei, the sighting after the time frame will be tomei, shafilu tovla v'raso tomeya. In the case of a nida, let us imagine, 7 days went by and she did immerse herself in the mikveh. And then after that she sees blood. Well, that blood is tomei. She is, at that point, she becomes a zava. So you can't compare that. Tomru bioledes sheim tavla v'rasa she tahora. In the case of a woman who gave birth, after the 7 days of a male birth go by, if she immerses in the mikveh and then sees blood, that blood is tahora. So you can't compare the case of the Yoledes to the case of the Nida. Amru Lahem, Beis Hillel says, Yoledes Bezov Tochiach. The case of a woman who prior to her delivery had experienced a Zava, 3 days of Zav sightings, of Zava sightings, and then she gave birth. The rule is that after the 7 days of Tumas Leda, she observes 7 clean days to cover the fact that she delivered in a Zava state. That's called Yoledes Bezoiv. So let it prove our point. Shim Tovla V'Rosa La'achar Yamei Svira. Imagine the woman who she gave birth after her giving birth, she immersed in the mikveh, then observed 7 clean days, and then she saw blood. Shim tovla v'rasa le'achar yemei sfira tahora, lo tovla v'rasa tamea. If she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh, she would be tamea. Let's just correct for the purpose of accuracy. The case of Shim Tovla is where she immerses after she kept the Zayin Nikiyim, after the 7 clean days that she needed to keep for the Zava. If she finished her Yemei Leido days, finished the Zayin Nikiyim, went to the mikveh, and then she saw blood, so it's Tohar. Lo tavla v'rasa tamea. If she didn't immerse and then saw blood, it would be tamea. So you see that the passage of time is not enough to create tahara, but the mikveh is an essential element. Amru lahem. So Beis Shammai said back to them, your very example we take issue with. Hu hadin v'hi hatshuva. With regard to Yoledes Bezov, the same thing as we said earlier, that if the Yemei Leido go by and the 7 clean days go by and she didn't immerse herself and then she saw blood, she would be the blood would be Tahora. So you see that this Machlokes Beis Shammai Hillel persists, and Beis Shammai placing sole emphasis on passage of time, and Beis Hillel saying time is not enough, but mikveh as well. And if there's no mikveh immersion, so blood sightings that she has remain tomei midoraisa. The Gemara asks, Lememor de Pligi, are you suggesting that Beis Hillel Beisham may actually argue about the Yoledes Bezov? V'hotnan, Umoidim B'Yoledes Bezov, they agree, Shehi Mitama Lach B'Yavesh. That means Beis Shammai is Moide to Beis Hillel, that the Yoledes Bezov, the blood that she experiences, is Mitama even if it's Yavesh, showing us that it's Doraisa. So how can you say that Beis Shammai is lenient? Lo Kashya. Kan Shesofra, Kan Shelo Sofra. We have two Tanaic sources. One is this, is the longer Brisa source, and there's the shorter Tanaic source that began with Umoidim. The Kan Shesofra, the longer Brisa source, is where she counted Shiva Nikiyim, and then she saw blood. So that in that, under those circumstances, if she counted her 7 clean days following her Yemei Leda and then saw blood, Beis Shammai would say that midoraisa it's tor, namely it would not metame yavesh. In the little source that said umoidim, that Beis Shammai concedes that it would metame even yavesh, that's a case where she didn't finish counting her shiva nikiyim. So they agree that if she didn't finish, you don't even have the time factor to metahir. So of course the dam will be tomei midoraisa and metame even biyavesh. V'hotanya, this is a source brought in to support this. Yoledes bezov shesofra v'lo tovla, a woman who delivered a child, who gave birth in a state of ziva, and she counted her shiva nikim, her 7 clean days after her yomei leda, but she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh. V'rasa, and then she had a blood sighting. Holchu Beis Shammai l'shitasan, u'Beis Hillel l'shitasan. Beis Shammai follows their approach, which is one of time alone is mitahir, and therefore the time would have passed, and she'd be the blood would be tohar. U'Beis Hillel l'shitasan, Beis Hillel follows their shita, their approach to this matter, saying that time alone is not sufficient to create tahara. You notice we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a totally new idea, a new discussion, which doesn't relate directly to that which we discussed till now. The topic heading that we've used for this is on the side. You can see the nosei and also an indication, at soif lamed vav amud aleph. That means that this topic will keep us busy for the balance of today's shiur and for the beginning of Amir Tzashem, the next shiur, the shiur for Daf Lamed Vav. The topic, or the title you could give to this, is Mayon Echod O Shnei Mayonas. That in and of itself is rather vague, but Ma'ayon literally is a well, but here we're talking about blood source. And more specifically, we're speaking about a woman who gave birth. You'll notice we have written in as well, Yemei Tumas Leda, a woman who delivers a child. She is Tameya for 7 or 14 days, depending on the gender. She's Tameya automatically. Most births are accompanied with blood emissions, and for our purposes we're going to work with that scenario, that after she gave birth she is experiencing a blood emission. That blood will be that blood is tomei, and she is tomeia for those first week or 2 weeks. As we said, male is tuma for 1 week, female delivery 2 week tuma period. That is followed by Yemei Tohar, which means that any blood sighting she has after the Yemei Tumas Leda is Tohar. It's we'll call this a halacha very unique to women who deliver children, who gave birth. In a case of a male birth, she's Tameya for She's tahora for 33 days following the 7 days of tumah, and in the case of a female, she's tahora for 66 days following the birth of the nekeva, in which she was tameah for 2 weeks. Total number of days, 7 and 33 is 40 days for male, and 14 plus 66, 80 days for female. And then there's the period achar yemei tohar. What we are interested in analyzing here is a case of a woman who, the first question is, the source of blood during the yemei tumah, is it the same source that is responsible for blood sightings that come during the yemei tohar? If you say yes, the woman has one blood source which is responsible for all these different time periods, that's the shita of Rav. That's called Mayon Echad. Levi says that dam of Tuma and dam of Tara. Tara, what do you mean Tara blood? That's the blood that comes during the Yemei Tohar. Shnei Mayonos. They're two separate, two distinct blood sources. Let us now start the Gemara. Itmar, Rav Omar, Mayon Echod Hu. It's one blood source. According to Rav, the time passage is all that matters. The fact that a woman is seeing blood during the first 7 days in the case of a male birth, that she is Tameah, that same source of blood from day 8 till day 40 is not responsible for Tumah. Mayon Echod Hu, HaTura Tim Oso, VaTura Tiaroso. The Torah declares it to be Tomei during the first 7 or 14 days, and the Torah declares it to be Tor after that. The Levi Omar Shnei Mayonis Hain. There are two separate blood sources. Nistam HaTomei Niftach HaTor. Once the Tomei source seals up, in other words, there's a stoppage of blood flow, then any continuation will be a sign that the Tohor source opened up. Nistam HaTohor, that is looking at the end of the either 40 or 80 day period, when it closes, when there's a point on day 40 or day 80 where we notice there's no blood flow. Any subsequent blood flow is Niftach HaTomei. That's a sign that the Tomei blood source opened up. Mai Binaihu, what is a point of difference between Rav and Levi? Iko Binayu, a point of difference or a case in which you'll see a manifestation of the difference between these two approaches is the case of Shoifas Mitoich Shiva Leachar Shiva Umitoch Arbo Osor Leachar Arbo Osor Umitoch arboim lachar arboim, umitoch shmonim lachar shmonim. The key word is that which we've dashed underline, the word shofas. Shofas means is the opposite of nistam, in other words, is a continuous flow, as opposed to nistam, where it's stopped or sealed. So, what are we describing? A continuous flow from day 7, day 7 is a Tomei day, till after day 7, the case of a male birth, day 7, or after 7, is a Tohor day. Likewise, Mitochar Boim, within 40, that's a Tohor day. Those are Tohor days. La'achar Boim, day 41 onwards, those are days that any blood she sees will make her Tameah. She's no longer in the realm of the Yemei Tohar. Notice we've broken down these examples into Reisha and Seifa, and that's in anticipation of the upcoming piece of Gemara. The Reisha was dealing with a move from Tuma to Tara, and the Seifa is dealing with a move from Tahara to Tuma. The Rav, according to Rav, that says the blood source is singular. The Tomei and Tohar blood come from the same source. Reisha Lekula, the Seifa Lechumra. In the case of Shofas, where there's a continuous flow, so the Reisha, that's the case when you're moving from Tuma to Tahara, mind you, there hasn't been any stoppage in the Tuma flow. There hasn't been any stoppage. But you go from day 7 to day 8, the Torah declares it to be Tor. That's a leniency. In other words, even though there's no stoppage, we will consider her Tahora. In the Seifa, on the other hand, when she's going from Tohor to Tuma, let's say she's experiencing a blood flow during the Tohor days, but there's no stoppage, and she continues her blood flow to after the Tohor days, what are we going to say about the woman? We're going to say, well, sorry, you are now Tamea. So that is a stringency. We're going to declare her Tamea, even though she was going from what appeared to start as a Tohor flow, but it will be declared Tamea simply because of the passage of time. In contrast, Levi, Levi spoke about Tuma, Yonas, Reisha Lechumra. In the Reisha, we're talking once again about Shofas. Shofas means it's a continuous flow, so there was no closing up of the Tomei source. So when you're going from day 7 till after day 7, what was happening on day 7? A Tomei source was open. Levi holds their Shtei Mayonis. Do you have any evidence that the Tohor source opened up? No, because there was a continuous flow. So going from day 7 till after 7, it, according to Levi, represents a stringency. The Seifa Lekula, when you're going from the Yemei Tohar into the subsequent regular days, which would be days that she could become Tomei, if you don't see a stoppage of flow of the Tohar Dam, so that you have Dam flowing from day 40 till day 41, well, it started on day 40, that was a Tohar source, the Tohar source didn't close up, so we'll assume it's that which is continuing into day 41, and she remains Tohar. So according to Levi, in addition to passage of time, you have to have physical evidence of a given blood source closing, stopping, and then a subsequent flow we would attribute to the other blood source. This is a good example. When you look at this machlokas Rav and Levi, you can't say that one is more machmir than the other. You rather have to apply each one's shita to given circumstances, and within given circumstances you can say that one is more machmir than the other, but across the boards it is not the case. Each one in given circumstances is more machmir than the other. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. We see a triangle, and under our Mivneh heading, the triangle represents their challenges, and with the point facing up, Letovas Rav, they will be citations brought in the Gemara from Tanaic sources, and they continue down Lamed Vav Amud Aleph as well. Most of the triangles you'll see are where the Gemara introduces sources for the benefit of Rav's approach, that it's one Ma'ayon. On Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, there is an inverted triangle, which indicates to the benefit of Levi. A double underline is also used to highlight the initial conclusion, that is, of each attempt by saying Bishlama LaRav, or in one case it will say Bishlama LaLevi. When I say in one case Bishlama LaLevi means in the initial
Bishlamo will be to Levi's benefit.
Now that we know the structure, let's get into the Gemara itself. Bearing in mind, is it one Mayon or two Mayonos when you're moving from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tahara, or from Yemei Tahara back into Yemei Tumah? Meisvei, Dam HaYoledes Shelo Tovla. The blood from a woman who gave birth, but she let her days, her Tomei days, to pass, but she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh. Beishamai Omrim Keroiko Kamei Ragleha. That it means we'll treat it like we would treat her saliva or her urine, which means it's tomei lach and not yovesh, only when it's fresh, when it's damp and not dry. We will treat it as dam tomei midoraisa, that even if it, not only lach, if it's fresh or damp, but even if it's dry, it is metame. We're going to work with the assumption that the blood flow stopped. We say here that the days passed, but she didn't go to mikveh. Okay, she didn't go to mikveh, but the blood flow stopped. We're also saying that once we get into day 8, being that she hadn't gone to mikveh, Beis Hillel says it's treated as dam tomei, completely tomei. So, Bishlamol Rav, the Omar Mayon Echad, who, according to Rav, that says there's only one source of blood, things are sensible. Mishum hochi mitame lach v'yovesh. Therefore, Beis Hillel is mitame, not only if it's damp, but even if it's dry. Simply because there's one blood source, and if you don't go to the mikveh, you're not mitahir that blood source. El Levi domar shnei mayonis hein. But according to Levi, that they're two separate blood sources, and that the blood source of the Yemei Tumah stopped. Because we're working with this assumption, the Pascha, it stopped. Okay, it's true. Technically, she didn't go to mikveh, but the reoccurring or the reappearance of blood after the Yemei Tumah is from the Tohor source. It's Shnei Mayonis means there are two sources. And the first source closed up. The subsequent sighting is from a different, and it's from the Tohor source. Amai Mitama Lach V'Yobesh. Why is Beis Hillel so machmir to say that it's Mitama as Dam Doraisa, meaning even if it's Yobesh? For after all, it's coming from a Tohor source. Omar Loch Levi. Levi will answer, Hocha b'maskina b'shoifas. In this Tanaic source, in fact, it didn't stop. And it was unlike our assumption, the blood flow continued. Oh, well, if the blood flow continued, so then it's from the same ma'ayon, it's from the same source, it's from a singular source, from before 7 till after 7. Well, if that be the case, if it's a case of shofas, so why is Beis Shammai lenient? Why do they say that it's not full-fledged Dam Doraisa? Kosavri, the answer is, Kosavri Beis Shammai Mayon Echod Hu. Beis Shammai is of the opinion, like Rav. Don't forget, Levi is speaking right now. But Levi, in order to explain, Beis Shammai says that, well, Beis Shammai doesn't hold like me, which isn't so bad, because in general, Beis Shammai is not the source of halacha for us. Therefore, the fact that Levi is a departure from Beis Shammai isn't so bad. So Levi says, okay, Beis Shammai holds it's all there is one ma'ayon. Being that there's one ma'ayon, time is the only factor. And before 7, the Torah declares it to be Tomei. After 7, the Torah declares it to be Tohor. And that's why it's not Mitama like Dam Doraisa. It's true there's a rabbinic stringency that's imposed, but it's not Mitama Yovesh. That having been said, the Gemara now says Bishamol Levi. Oh, now upon hearing Levi's explanation, things are smooth according to Levi. Hainu de'iko bein Beishamayu Beis Hillel. We now see a firm, a basic machlokes between Beis Shammai and Hillel, where Beis Shammai says one ma'ayon, and Beis Hillel says two ma'ayonas. In other words, Levi will be telling you, it's only Beis Shammai that says it's one, there's one ma'ayon, and Beis Hillel will hold like me, that there are two ma'ayonas. And as far as why Beis Hillel is so machmir, is because the ma'ayon that's tomei divin close up. As Levi said, it's a case of shofas. Elola Rav, my binayu, but according to Rav, that everyone holds one ma'ayon. In other words, according to Rav, Beis Hillel also says one ma'ayon, my binayu, or as Rashi says, b'mai komifligi. What's the point of machlokes between them, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Where do you see a manifestation or a basis for their disagreement? Iko binayu yoimi utvila. The point of difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will be what is necessary to create tahara. Yoimi utvila, days and immersion, or days alone. The Beis Shammai savri b'yoimi tola rachmona. The passage of days is enough to establish tahara. Therefore, after 7 days, if she continues to see dam, it's going to be tohor. Because even without a mikveh immersion, because the days passed. That's what he says. B'yoyme tola rachmona. Yoyme is days. The tola dependent. The Torah made it dependent on passage of days. Ubeis hillel savri. B'yoyme utvila. In order to achieve tara, not only is passage of days a requirement, but also her immersion in the mikveh. And in the absence of that, the blood remains tomei. The Oraisa, and hence it's mitama even yovesh. Tal shma umoidim bioletis bezoiv shehi mitama lach viyovesh. Now we note again the triangle with the point facing up means that we're coming from a standpoint to benefit Rav. This is a case of a woman whose yemei leida passed. She happened to have delivered her child when she was in a state of Zova Tuma. She didn't count her 7 Nikiyim. So Beis Shammai concedes that the blood is Mitama even Yavesh. Salkadai to Hochanami the Poska. We're working with an assumption that here, like we said before, there was a stoppage in the blood flow. It wasn't a continuous blood flow. And she finished her Yemei Tumas Leida, and she's in the middle of the 7 clean days. She didn't finish counting the 7 clean days. The Gemara says, we're going to assume that there was a stoppage in the blood flow. So, Bishlamola Rav Domar Mayon Echod Hu, according to Rav, it says there's only one source, Mishum Hochi Metama Lach B'Yovesh. And that's why that she didn't count the Shiva Nikiyim. She wasn't Metahir the Mayon yet, the one Mayon that exists. She wasn't Metahir it by counting the Sheva Nikiyim. So that even though there was a stoppage between day 7 and after day 7, but she wasn't Matayer, the one Ma'ayon that exists, so it's still Tomei. And therefore I understand why Beis Hillel says, why everyone agrees that it's Metamalach V'yovesh, Elo L'Levi Domar Shnei Ma'ayonis Hein, but according to Levi, that they're two separate blood sources, and the one, the original Tomei blood source stopped. As we said, it was we're assuming the Poskov, it stopped, and we lapsed into the days after the Leida, which, and then there was a recurring blood flow that's coming from the Tomer source. Amai Metamalach V'Yovesh. Why should the blood and after the 7 Tomei days, why should it Metame even Yovesh? Amar Loch Tocha Nami B'Shoifas. So Levi will tell you that. Here too, we are talking about a case of shofas. That means a continuous blood flow. There wasn't a stoppage. So if there wasn't a stoppage, there wasn't any opportunity we didn't have the opportunity to see the Tohor source start flowing, because the Tomei source continued flowing. E b'shofas l'may itzrich. Well, if it's a case of shofas, what do I have to tell you? The Beis Shammai is moedid to Beis Hillel. In a case of a shofas, the Gemara answers le Beis Shammai itzrich. There's a chiddush here according to Beis Shammai. I need it for the purpose of bringing out Shitas Beis Shammai. And the Gemara goes on, Afagav, Dikamri Beis Shammai Bayan Echad Hu. And this was a point that Levi himself made earlier. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text attaching or connecting this with the point above where Levi said this. That even though Beis Shammai says it's one Mayon, Uva Yoyma Tola Rachmona, and days are enough, passage of days are enough to establish identity or establish status. Hani mili bioletis greitza. That's with a regular yoletis, so one a woman who gave birth, but she wasn't in a state of ziva. The shlimu lehu yoime, where her days finished, and that's all she needed to wait for was the passage of days. Under those circumstances, so Beis Shammai will tell you that once the Tumah days, the Tumas Leido days pass, the Dam is no longer Mitameh Midoraisa. Avo Yoledes Bezoiv de Boy Sphira Loi. But a Yoledes Bezoiv, even Beis Shammai acknowledges that the passage of the Tumas Leido days is not enough. She also has to count the seven clean days. And in the event that she has a blood sighting before she completes counting the seven clean days that follow the seven Yemei Leda, Beis Shammai acknowledges it still will be Metama Midoraisa, as Metama Yovesh as well. Toshma Devoisa Titma. This is a pasuk from the beginning of Parshas Tazria. On the margin, we have included this pasuk: Ishoki Sazria Violda Zohar V'Tama Shivas Yomim Kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma. So this expression Devoisa Titma, Rashi points out, is a seeming extra expression. The pasuk could have been written without this phrase in it. So what is the phrase is role? What does it do for us? The rabbi says boyala. It comes to include the person who has intimacy with a woman that is tamea. If a man, let's say, is boyal anida, so he becomes tome also. The voice of titmo the rabbis halelos. This includes the nighttime as well. That one should not say just because the pasuk says shivas yomim, it means yomim, the daytime, she's tomei during the day and not during the night. No, she's tomei during the night also. The voice of Tidma, the rabbis, hayoledes bezoiv, shetzucha, shetashev, shiva, yomim, nikiyim. The voice of Tidma includes the woman who gave birth when she was in a state of ziva, that she has to observe an additional 7 days of no blood sighting after her Yemei Tumas Leida. Bishlamo L'Rav, Domer Mayon Echad Hu. As far as Rav is concerned, that says that there's only one blood source throughout the whole time period from Yemei Leida into Yemei Tohar. It's only one blood source. Mishumachi Bayashiva Yomim Nikim. Therefore, in order to metaher, to reach tara of that one blood source, so you have to go through she has to finish the Yemei Leida. She was a Yoledes Bezov, so she has to observe this Shiva Nikiyim. And with that, we can then talk about her tahara. continuing on the very top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Elo Levi, the Omar Shnei Mayonis Hain, but according to Levi, that there are two separate blood sources, one of the Yemei Tumas Leda, which is the Tomei source, and the blood that comes during the Yemei Tar, after the Yemei Leda, is from a Tar source, Lama Li Shiva. Why do I need to have seven clean days in order to establish the blood as being Tahar? B'mashehu Sagya. Would it not be enough that there's a momentary stop in blood flow between day 7 and day 8, a momentary stop, that's mashehu. And wouldn't that be enough to establish the dam as being tahor? Granted, the woman needs to keep shiva nikiyim, but in order to establish the blood itself as being tahor, wouldn't a mashehu be enough? The Gemara answers, Hochi Ka'amar, Sricha Shetifsok Mashehu, she needs to have a momentary stoppage, Shiyalu Lo L'Shiva Nikim, that she should then be able to count her seven clean days. To appreciate this a little bit more, we look at the Rashi at the top, Elol Levi, B'mashu Sagi, B'tifsok Mashu L'achar Shvuayim, the Nistam Hatome, let her have a momentary break in blood flow after a 2 week tumas leda in the case of a female birth, and that hafsok lemashu, that momentary stoppage, shows us that the tome blood supply stopped, the tamtin shiva, the titbol, and then let her wait 7 clean days and immerse herself. Vafilu tire kol shiva, even if she happens to have a blood flow during all 7 days, yalu la b'nikiyim, they will count toward her clean days. The halav dam tomehu, she's not experiencing a tome blood flow at all. As Levi said, it's a separate source. So why does the source indicate that she doesn't achieve Tara unless she has 7 non-blood days? So the Gemara then answered, you have to reread it as we did. Rashi goes on, she tifsok mashu la'achar shvayim dinikeva, she, as long as she has a minor break after the 2 weeks of a female birth, then it's enough. The minor break is enough, and then she observes 7 days where she's still forbidden to her husband because she needs to count shiva nikiyim. And we're saying that those shiva nikiyim might in fact be made of 7 days where there's blood flow. But why? How do you call them clean days? Because it's clean blood, so to speak. It's called tohor blood, and that with that we then preserve shitas Levi as well. As you can see, The Gemara goes on with more triangles, which indicates that we're in the middle of a sugya, but with this we conclude our shiur for today.